Today's guest is Matt Parkin, and you are in for a treat. Yes, it's a guy. So we got some masculine energy going on here, but he is amazing, and I am very excited to bring him to you. He is a ukulele instructor, and so he has an academy, and he teaches people how to play a song, people who have never played instruments before. So this is a long conversation. We went, I think, close to 50 minutes, but it was totally worth it. And the juicy parts are in the latter part of my episode, as most of my episodes are. So we get going. It's almost like a car that warms up and finally the heat gets on. So, but he is a delight. I met him through my business mentorship group. He is a fairly new person to it. And I love, because I've been in there for a while, and I mentioned this in the episode, but it's like, I am always meeting new people. And that's one of the reasons I stay in it, because people leave and they come and they go, but I'm a few of us stay in there because it's so valuable, so high value to us. And a lot of it is because of the community that is in there. Such interesting people that are, and a lot of them are later in life people like myself, which Matt qualifies as. And so you'll hear his story and how he's had different pivots in his life, but what ultimately has led him to what he's doing now, and how fantastic he is at what he does, and how excited I am that I will be getting to work with him personally, because he's going to teach me how to play the ukulele, which is upcoming stuff that we're going to do a part two, the Lori that is now the ukulele player. So we're going to get to that. But for now, this is part one of the amazing Matt Parkin and how he is lighting up the world with his music, his ukulele music in particular. Hi, I'm Lori Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped, so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today I have with me Matt Parkin, and he just told me he has a new name for what he does. He's a ukapreneur. So he is a ukulele instructor, and he is a ukulele academy. So welcome to the program, Matt.
Hello there.
Hello there. And he also has an accent. So he doesn't live in America. So I love accents. So, and I don't know about my listeners, but I could listen to a British accent all day long. So yeah. So Matt and I met in a business mentorship. I've been in for a while, like I'm going on 4 years there. He's fairly new, and I always love when new people come in, and what he does is so, so cool. And it's actually going to lead me to, he's going to teach me. And so we've been actually talking for a half an hour before we pressed record. So we're very chatty, and I'm excited to bring him to the program and introduce him to my listeners and anybody who might be interested in learning an instrument. So let's start with, because you have a fascinating career, and you are in the mid to later in life. People always say midlife's like 40, and we're like past that, right? He's 52.
Oh, yeah. We'll pass that.
But we're going to live to 100. So it's like past 100. So it's like midlife. But yeah, so he's such an interesting background, and he's so fun. I mean, I really want you people who are listening to follow him on social media. He's on TikTok now. If you're on TikTok, he has an Instagram account. He has a YouTube account that he's actually building out. He's in the current stages of that. And he's getting ready to start a podcast. But he has a humor about him. He is funny. And one of my values, I don't even know if you know this, Matt, but one of my values, my core values is humor. Yeah. And so, And so that's one of the reasons why I love your stuff so much is because you're just like so genuine and so cheerful. And, I just like when I look in some of your videos, you made me smile. And so I want to go back and consume more. So good on you for that. So, yeah. Cool. So talk about, what your past, like, how did you get into music? I guess that's where we should start since you're a ukulele teacher. How did you get into music? And then we'll kind of like go through the path where your specialty is ukulele now.
I started playing instruments as a kid. I was five. I played recorder. My mum got me into it. And I had the opportunity to start playing the clarinet when I was about 9 or 10. That led to the saxophone. I started playing the guitar and then the bass guitar and piano. And I just kind of started accumulating instruments.
Now, did you have to do that in school? Because we had to we had to do chorus or an instrument. And so I did chorus, unfortunately, because I wish I had done an instrument.
The English system, it used to be, not so much now, but when I was kind of growing up and hitting kind of senior school in the 80s, a lot of schools had an orchestra and there was a little kind of cupboard full of instruments, and you go and say, I want to play the French horn, and they'd give you a French horn, and there'd be people who come in and you pay for your lessons and whatever. And it was quite a good setup. There was lots of music around, which was fantastic. It's less so now, but basically I had a very, very different musical path in terms of learning than most of the people that I come into contact with now. I took it for granted that, if you were a kid, you played a musical instrument and you had fun with it, and maybe you played in an orchestra or something like that. It didn't occur to me that some people just didn't get that opportunity.
Were your parents involved in music? Because I find musical parents will, have their kids start and do that.
My grandfather was one of these people that you'd hum him a tune and he'd play it on the piano. And it was all kind of Christmases. We'd kind of go and see my granddad and granny at their little flat, and we'd have to sing these songs that were popular in the 1930s or whenever it was. And that was kind of what we did, and had a bit of a sing. My mum kind of played a little bit, but not really. I've actually just taught her how to play ukulele. She comes along to my classes, which is fantastic.
That's awesome. How old is she?
She's just turned 75. She's not my oldest member. I've got Ramona in Sweden, who's I think she's 82, but don't.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing! I love that.
It's great. So basically, I always played music, always played in orchestras, and then I discovered kind of rock and roll and playing in bands. And when I was 18, it was a choice between going and studying the clarinet properly or playing bass guitar in rock bands and getting, having fun.
So having like fans.
Well,
beautiful ladies following you around.
there was some of that going on, that was pretty, but it was basically, I decided when I was probably 16 or 17, I had this fantastic mentor who's a really good bass guitarist. He's played with loads of people like Bill Bruford. He's awesome. He's fantastic. And he just said, if you want to be a bass player, you can be a bass player. And then by the time I was kind of 19, I was making records with these bands. And then I toured America in my early 20s. That was fun.
Oh, wow. When was that? What years?
Oh, like 91, 92.
Oh,
and
fun.
Like basically, by the time I was kind of like in my early 20s, I'd kind of done all these things. And it was a lot of fun, been on television, blah, blah, and played with some if you were kind of a goth in the late 80s, you'd probably have heard of some of the bands I've been in. I played with A band called The Mission for a while. I played with a band called the Jesus and Mary Chain. They're probably, I hate to say it, Laurie, probably a little bit after your time. Possibly. Possibly.
Now, hey,
I'm not.
I had kids. I went to their concerts with them.
Yeah,
They liked Hanson. Do you know the band Hanson?
Hanson. Yeah,
Yeah,
Hanson.
I've been
Excellent.
to like a zillion Hanson. We still are going to Hanson concerts.
You're still going to Hanson. Well, they're kind of they're still going it because they were they do they're touring at the moment, I
Oh
think.
yeah, they tour. They're going to be in Richmond, which is like an hour from me at the end of the month or the beginning of August. So we've already been discussing it. So yeah.
Fantastic. That's just great. But
Now
yeah,
they have all they have a zillion kids now. So there's the three boys that played,
yeah.
and Taylor, the middle one, who was like the heartthrob of them and the main singer, he has like six kids. I think she might even be pregnant or just had her seventh. It's crazy.
Wow. Do they
I
play?
know.
Do they get them out on stage? Do they get them doing stuff? Wicked. That's
I know.
great.
It's so fun because we go there and it's like the kids, like my oldest daughter's turning 40 this month, which is crazy to think of that. And so now they have kids, my kids have kids. And so they're going to these concerts and they're connecting with these other moms that are, they were teeny boppers. They were like 13 and 14 and like, oh, Hanson. And now they're like adults. And my oldest daughter has an 11-year-old. She could actually take her. She's the age that my youngest daughter was when they started following Hanson. So it's just like so crazy that these generations, this generation of kids that were born in the 80s and followed them are continuing to still follow them. They have quite a fan base.
That's one of the things that I went to see a concert last night. I took my youngest son to his first rock concert. We flew back to England, to Bristol, and it's this fat, tiny little venue. It's about 300 capacity, and it's actually an old metal boat called the Thekla. I mean, I think I played there about 30 years ago or something, and it was really interesting seeing the audience because there was kind of my generation, like the old guys who used to be the young guys, and there was loads of people between the age of, I suppose Gabriel is 15 and about sort of 23, 24, and it was wonderful seeing so many different ages within this one concert, all really enjoying the, yeah, Rainwolf. If you like blues, rock, punk, noise, Rainwolf, Reign, Wolf. This guy Jordan something, he played the Montreux Jazz Festival when he was about 15. And check him out on YouTube. He's awesome. He does a fantastic version of The Chain by Fleetwood Mac on a
Oh,
mandolin.
awesome. Yeah,
And
I wouldn't think like blues and punk rock, like that's kind of like
full on
very
noise. Yeah.
different. It's crazy. All right. So where do
Yeah.
you live? Because you said you flew to England. So where do you live now?
I live in Gibraltar. At this point in time, I'm actually in Spain. I've got a little office flat in Spain, and I live in Gibraltar. And yeah, I've lived in Andalusia for 17, 18 years. I kind of brought my kids up here, sort of running around, eating vegetables and jumping in and out of pools and just not. I don't particularly like England, as in being there. I'm pleased I don't live there anymore.
Now, do you speak? Because one of the things that I think is interesting that I learned is that people who can play multiple instruments are also good at multiple languages. Is that true?
I do myself down. I speak better Spanish than I kind of give myself credit for. I used to speak better when I used to be a cabinet maker. I used to do a lot of making furniture and stuff. And when I was working, I had my workshop with guys from the village that I lived in. Speaking Spanish all the time, but I'm out of practice at the moment. I could do 6 months living in Granada or somewhere like that, and just completely immersing myself again. Yeah, I do more than get by. I can make the old guys in the bar laugh. I don't think it's just my dodgy accent, but I think I do. I listen. I hear things. If I'm in Portugal, I can kind of understand what's going on within a couple of weeks. Same with Italy. I mean, I'm not a linguist, but I find that I pick things up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so
But
interesting. That's so interesting. All
that's
right, so let's.
I quickly leap in. It was really, really important that I tell you this.
Oh, what?
Really important, right? This is it. A lot of people see learning a musical instrument as being this weird, mystical, strange thing. But it is very much like learning a language. It's when you first start speaking a language and you've not done it before, you're in the middle of a cloud, you can't understand anything. And then slowly, bit by bit, the mist clears. And it's like that learning an instrument. And you start off just playing one note and slowly it kind of creeps out. And then you learn another instrument and they're all the same. All instruments are the same. You move your fingers and the notes change. That's it.
Yeah. But, and I think the ukulele is more basic, right? Is that why it's just an easy instrument to learn? And so you find it's easier to teach people?
It is without doubt the easiest instrument to learn the basics of. I can get somebody playing a song in 5 minutes. It's really, really straightforward to just play. But like any instrument, to play it well, yeah, that takes time. I mean, I've got students that have been playing a year and they're really good, but I've also got some other students that are playing a year and they're just chugging through the songs and having fun. It's not about getting good, it's about enjoying it. That's the thing. It's about enjoying it and using music to connect with people.
Yeah. Do you have to have a good voice? Because my voice is, I like am tone deaf. I think I can't carry a tune. I know I could learn because it's everything's a skill that you can develop, right?
Yeah. I mean, basically, musicality is it's a muscle. You're training your brain. The more you do, the better you get. I was horrendously awful to my father growing up because me and my sister would just rib him mercilessly because we didn't think he could sing and we thought he was tone deaf. But he joined a choir 10 years ago and he can sing. He's got a nice tone to his voice and he is in tune now. And everybody has a capacity to get better. Definitely. It's a muscle. You'll be able to sing. You'll be fine. You don't need to be able to sing, but if you kind of sat there with your ukulele and you can sing a little song to your grandchildren.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. I want to do it so bad. So yeah. So it's so funny because I was telling you before we hit record that I love American Idol and The Voice. And yeah. I love, to me, what is so special. My husband doesn't get it at all. He's like, oh, how can you get emotional over that? It's like, I'm like, you're just too much testosterone. I think, I don't know. But when they are in this moment of like connection to the audience, they get lost in like Keith Urban does this. That's one of the things I love about him. If you've ever watched him, I've never been to a concert, but I've watched him on video. He gets lost in the music. And some of these really fantastic performers, they do that. They just like, they feel into the music and they're really almost telling a story. They're conveying to you. It's more than just singing a tune. And so when I watch these shows, I get really attached to the people that connect the most. And I get emotional. They make me cry sometimes and it's like ridiculous, but I love it also because, you know, that's one of the things I do is help people find new passion after their kids have left. And so I'm really addicted to people who are passionate about what they're doing. And I see that with music and I also with dance, when people, there's these really amazing dancers and they're connecting. And that's another show. So You Think You Can Dance is on this summer right now. And yeah, it's just amazing. So we were talking about that. That makes the difference, all the difference when you're just connecting and emotional. I guess maybe you can be off key because sometimes the judges will say, well, that was a little pitchy. And I'm like, what the heck does pitchy mean? I mean, it sounded good to me.
It's not about perfection. It's not about perfection. It's about enjoying it. It's about enjoying the process. The thing about an instrument, I mean, I say, yes, I'll teach you how to play the ukulele and you'll be able to play the ukulele in 6 weeks. And yeah, I get people within 6 weeks, the stage where they can play a number of songs and getting to the stage where they can think of a song and have got the skills to go to the internet, find it and play it so that they can convey that song. But the thing is, the more you get into it, the more you realize it will never end. You never, ever ever stop learning an instrument, which is wonderful. I mean, I'm never going to stop learning. I'm getting, I learned the ukulele specifically to teach people about music. It's probably my 10th, ninth or 10th instrument. I don't play the ukulele. I'm nowhere near as good as these people that play the ukulele, but I'm good at teaching people and getting them enthused about doing it. And it's, you never stop learning. You will never, ever, ever stop learning. Once we get you hooked on playing the ukulele, you'll be there.
Yeah. So where did you learn? I mean, at what point, because I'm hearing a pivot and I know you wrote about this, but at what point you were in a band, you were building cabinets or furniture, and those are very different things than teaching. So at what point did you transition and think, did you have this feeling of, I want to share what I know? Did you have this feeling of, do you like to see students light up? I mean, teaching is a whole different ball of wax. Yeah.
No, definitely. I stopped in my kind of late 20s, I stopped playing professionally. I just didn't want to do it anymore. I knew that I didn't want to be a session musician. I tried to sort out my own band, and I don't think I was good enough at the time. It just didn't happen. I just went, I don't want to do that anymore. And I basically pushed music away and just concentrated on raising my kids, which was great fun. And I did other things. I had a building company for a bit of renovation company. Then I retrained as a cabinet maker because I like doing things. I mean, there's a lot of similarity between playing an instrument and using tools. You're all the time, you're using a tool to do a job. But basically what happened was I was doing a charity open mic evening that I just organized in Gibraltar. And the head mistress from my kid's school, she came along to those evenings. And she said, Matt, do you fancy coaching the teacher's choir for a performance at the end of the year? We want to surprise the kids. And I went in and coached the teacher's choir. What did we do? We did a song by the Monkees, and it was great.
I loved them. Davy Jones. I like Davy Jones.
Believer, that was it.
I'm a believer. I could leave her if I try. You know what? I think that's on my playlist on my phone.
It's great. It's a fantastic song. It's a brilliant song.
Yeah.
It was the end of summer concert. The kids did something. There was a surprise. The teachers got up. And I'd even got them. They did the solo on kazoos. I'd bought them all kazoos. So they were kind of, da, da, da. It was just really silly. It was fantastic. But during that process,
I'm sure the kids loved it.
Oh yeah, it was great. It was awesome. It was a load of fun. And basically during that process, a couple of them said, you should teach. You should come and teach. And then I got a phone call from her literally before the end of the summer break. And she said, look, we're going up in age range, and I think you'd be really great to help out, maybe facilitate a few workshops. And literally within 5 minutes of being in a classroom full of kids, I knew I wanted to teach. I was probably 45 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get a degree when I was younger, because I went off and just toured with bands. So I went and got a music degree. Did a load of training. I became a teacher, and I haven't looked back. I still occasionally, I don't do any work in schools now regularly, although I did get invited to the end of year party by the teachers at my kids, different school, but same thing. So I cover for the head of music there when he's ill. I kind of do bits and bobs. I get involved. But yeah, I used to do these. I learned to play the ukulele to teach kids, and I'd have these like 25-year-olds leaping up and down like mental things, all playing the ukulele. I mean, some of them at four, some of them would be chewing the end of it, some of them would be doing chords. But I mean, the thing is, you can get anybody from the age of 4 or 5 to 90 playing. and get them involved practically making music. And it's just wonderful. So yeah, I love teaching. I was just bitten by it. I just love it. And now teaching adults is weird. I keep finding these little differences between teaching adults and little kids and just the way they approach it. And I actually prefer teaching adults. It's more challenging.
Now, do you find that adults have like, and you mentioned about perfection back of it, and I was gonna ask about that because, you know, so many of us over the years, you know, we like, oh, well, we're not good enough, right? We're not good enough. So we don't do things because we think we need to be perfect. And it comes from a lot of like past crap. So how do you help adults overcome this, like, I have to be perfect, or it's okay, I can be messy about it? Do you find that is something that you have to help them through? Kids are like, I'll do it, I can do anything, right?
That's it. I mean, kids will bounce into the classroom. You'll go, okay, who can sing? And they'll all go, me, I can sing. It's fantastic. I mean, you said just a second ago, I can't sing, you know.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yet you
That's an
can't
automated negative
sing.
thought that just cropped
Exactly.
up in my head.
Exactly. I mean, we've all got it. We all do it. I mean, you coach people. I coach people. Okay, the mediums are different, but a lot of the basic issues that adults find with learning new stuff are exactly the same. It's like, am I too old to do this? Will I be able to do this? Will it take me too long? Is somebody going to laugh at me? Do I have to be talented? All those. I mean, I'd imagine you've
If
got
I
a lot.
had any kind of gifts about this, because people think they need to have like a knack, like I have no musical talent, so therefore, I would have found it by now, right? People like say that. I know because
Oh, absolutely. If
I
I was
said
going
that.
to be a musician, I would have done it when I was a kid. No, absolutely not. I mean, I've got there's two people from my kind of first cohort of my course who now help me coach inside the Facebook group and everything. And I mean, I'd never tell Bryony, but she's probably better than me now, right? But the thing is, she's just so focused and she's found this thing that she can do. And she's getting really good. And she bought herself a bass guitar and she's got a
Oh,
guitar and she's just
wow.
trying other things. And she's not ready yet to play in front of people. But I mean, she's actually very good. And but she's still got these limiting beliefs, but she's slowly kind of working through them. And the other woman that coaches with me, Sabina, she's great. She within a year of playing, she joined a ukulele group and she did loads and loads of concerts before Christmas. And she has loads of fun. And she's actually got a whole new area of her social life, which is just wonderful. I mean,
That's great.
and there's loads of others within the group that are using their kind of newfound passion to kind of just connect with people. I keep finding people in the membership. They'll put up, they'll go off and meet each other. They've only met on. Oh, sorry, my cat's saying hello.
Oh, I love little black and white cats. I have a black and white dog. So if you're on my YouTube channel, you got to go look at his cat. Really cute. Yeah, I heard the meow and I knew it wasn't you because your lips weren't moving.
Yeah, it wasn't me. I don't tend to meow on podcasts, so don't
So
tend.
I have a student story, which is kind of fun, that's ukulele related. And I don't teach ukulele in my program. So, you know, it's the second half spark school. So it teaches people to find that spark in their second half. So a lot of people come to me looking for just like they're just flat. They feel empty. They don't know like what it is that they should be doing. And there are quite a few people that are nearing retirement or in retirement. And they're like, okay, help me. And she was in that place. And she is now with another friend. And I don't know where she learned the ukulele. She might have known it before and just dropped it, or she's learned it since. I don't know. But she and her friend go to nursing homes. And they've given themselves a name, the Yayas, and they go to nursing homes and they play, they volunteer and play music. And it's like, so it has sparked her, and she's doing other things that, but that was like, something that just came from her doing the work inside my program on like, get rid of your limiting beliefs, know that there's the possibilities ahead. And like, what do you love? What do you dream about? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah. And the ukulele and this little two-person group came out of that. So that's one of the reasons, like, first of all, I have a desire to learn it. And if I have a desire, a lot of my students are very much, you know, they have similar interests. I just think, wouldn't it be cool to have, to be older and show and model, especially our children and grandchildren, that we can do new things?
A lot of my people are in that space. I mean, the majority of people in my membership are between 55 and 75. There's a lot of people that, yeah, they're kind of, the kids just left home. What do I do now? I need something creative. And they playing an instrument gets some learning again, gets some thinking about being creative and enjoying it, and just brings so much more into their life. And it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful things to grow.
Yeah. One of the things you said in the application for the podcast was that you weren't online before the pandemic, right? Since it's this whole online, the membership, the academy, like you did stuff kind of face-to-face before?
I didn't. What happened? As soon as lockdown started, I was actually teaching in a school in Marbella. And then I had to start doing all of my classes online. And this was classroom work. And I had some other students that were ukulele, and I was teaching clarinet, various other instruments I was teaching at the time. And we just started doing this online thing. And I found it worked better. I found that I was able to, using with the kids that were doing practical music learning, if they had access to information on video that they could look at, a mixture of that, printed stuff, and regular kind of catch-ups, they were actually achieving probably in 3 months what they'd achieve in a year in terms of their progression.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it shocked me. And then basically their parents, bit by bit, I got two or three, four kind of people just go, well, what about us? We actually, our kids are having too much fun. We want some fun, please, Matt. Can you?
Yeah, and it, you know, I bet there's this visibility thing too, because when you're in person, it's like you drop the kid off, versus when they're on video, they're kind of like, ooh, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, have you ever taught adults? And I was like, no, but so yeah, when we launched, it was the autumn in between the two lockdowns, and it was to adults. So I think the first time I ran a workshop, I think we had a couple of hundred people. And then the second time there was 500 people. And it's just kind of grown from that. And it is basically, I'll just quickly tell you, your listeners, how I do it. The promise is that within 3 days, on three kind of like 1 hour sessions, you will get to the stage where you can play. I mean, in the first session, you'll play a song. You'll play two songs in the first session. But by the end of the third session, you will be able to play a song to somebody and them actually recognize what it is. And you have learned the process by which you learn a song. Because the thing is, when you learn an instrument, you don't learn an instrument. Learning the ukulele, that's a big task, that. How can you possibly learn the ukulele? No, you're learning how to play one song. And once you've learned the process of learning one song, then you can go and learn another song and another song and another song. And slowly your skills build up. But the process of learning a song, it's the same for every single song you learn.
And to me, these like kind of like little challenges that we do to introduce people to us and our you know, platform, it's meant to give them a transformation, no matter what that is, to give, to have a result, to get an outcome. And the fact that you can do that is crazy because a lot of people don't think it's possible. So they're like, yeah, really? And so, and people are all worried about time and how much time things will take. So you make it like it's not a lot of time. And I imagine that the whole mindset shifts because of that one experience of learning a song. That's so great.
And let me clarify, this is taking people that have never picked up a ukulele before, have no idea how to tune it, no idea how to hold it or anything. It's from literally getting a box with a ukulele in through the post, pulling it out and going, well, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
To a stage where they can play Happy Birthday to their grandchildren over Zoom, for example.
My goal is to learn that song and to play it, the one you teach in the 3 days, the three sessions, I should say, because it doesn't even take a whole day. It's like 3 hours or something.
Well, you've got homework in between, though.
Okay, you have to practice. Practice. Oh, well. Practice makes perfect, but we don't have to go for perfect. So I want to play it on live. I want to get on like and say, this is what I did. This is like, oh my gosh. And do you know that I had a ukulele? I think I told you that. I bought a ukulele at the local music store and they're cheap. So that's another good thing. It was like $40. And it sat in the corner for like a year. And my husband was like, are you going to do anything with that? And I went to a Christmas party and there was a little group there and they were playing. And one of them had a ukulele and I was like, oh, this is a sign. This is a sign. I should like pursue it. And it's funny because that little group, what we had hired for my youngest daughter's wedding to play like during the, you know, the happy hour part, the pre-dinner. And I was like, okay, so they were at the wedding, which was, you know, probably 5 or 6 years ago at this time. And now they're here at this party. I need to like, so I made an appointment with the guy. And I went to one lesson. And, you know, I think sometimes it's also the connection you have with the person who's teaching you. And he was great, but it wasn't like, I like fun. And it was like, I had to go home and practice the stuff that wasn't. And I was just like, I think, you know, part of the whole video thing and having a community, you have more accountability. You're more connected to this, like, oh, they're doing it. Oh, I said I would do it. I need to do it. So, yeah. So I think that whole model is genius. And I think like I connect with you, I really like you. So I think it would be fun.
It is fun. And it is, it's the fact that obviously we have the kind of the little workshop where you've got a definite tangible result and you can see that you might not be, you can see that you're going to make progress and you know that you will be able to play. And then within 6 weeks, it's quite intensive. But having said that, I mean, intensive, it's not like you're doing, when you start off an instrument, it's 10 minutes practice a day. You don't need more. And I'm really specific about that. You're better off doing less practice than more, and you're better off doing the right practice. And I'm quite specific about what I get people to do. And within 6 weeks, people have results. They know that they are enjoying it. They know it's fun, and they know they're getting better. And they can join in and play, and they can play the ukulele to their grandkids.
Yeah. And I think this, one of the songs you teach is something that's very recognizable to my age group. It's a Beatles song, right?
Well,
is that right?
The first song in the first module is Let It Be.
Oh, which is great.
We do that. What other songs do we do? There's loads of great songs.
Yeah. But isn't it Blackbird? Isn't Blackbird one of the songs that you teach? No. Oh, I thought it was. Okay.
Yeah, you made that up, Laurie.
What was there? It's about a bird. The challenge you do. What's that?
Oh,
what's that?
What? Three Little Birds.
Three Little Birds. Okay.
Yeah, it's a bird. You got loads of birds. It's fantastic. It's great.
A Blackbird, but it could be. It's three.
Oh, it might be Blackbirds. They're small. Definitely small.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, so I'm going to shift, and because I want to get this in before we probably need a part two. But so what did you learn? What have you learned about yourself? So that's one of the things that I was curious about, because I know you from being in mentorship. Mm. And so I have seen you, you know, resist and then kind of step up. And so, like, tell me what you've learned about yourself as you've moved to this different platform and as you're like putting yourself out there in the space that, you know, you kind of have to learn how to do some marketing. It's not just about the talent of you can do this as in terms of like you can show people how to play, but it's got, you got a business now and you gotta make it work. And it's kind of, it's a lot.
Yeah. I've learned so much about myself. I mean, to put it in context, I over the past 18 months, 2 years, I've actually been through quite a lot of personal change. And that has all tied in with teaching and letting go of a lot of the assumptions that I've made about myself for an awfully long time. Just put things in context. Basically, I split up with my wife, my partner of 24 years, who's the mother of my three kids, about 18 months ago. It had been on the cards for a while. The kids are older. They weren't surprised. But so basically, I've been, while you've kind of known me through the mentorship, I've also been kind of dealing with all that.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of going through a lot of counseling and just looking at myself. And the thing that's, I think, my biggest learn is how much how I dealt with this business was affected by me inside and how directly related the work that I've done on myself has been on how I've behaved within my business. I mean, don't get me wrong, the business, as in the teaching people online, that's always been fantastic. It's just fun. I just go into teacher mode and it's great. But all the bits around it, yeah, I've learned so much about myself. I mean, for example, the biggest one, because I didn't make it as a rock star in my early 20s, I've spent a large amount of my adult life subconsciously viewing myself as a failure, rather than it just being something that I did at one point in my life. And a lot of my friends view me as the guy that almost made it, as in, like, you know, I was playing, kind of, you know, playing on telly, playing in big bands. They go to Birmingham NEC to see me play, and, like, you know, 12,000-15,000 seaters, kind of big places. And but I viewed myself as a failure.
You split, so that's another failure, right? Because my marriage split after 25 years, 26 on paper, but, you know, it's like you frame it as a failure versus a success of 24, 25 years. A lot of people can't do that, you know?
And there's been a lot of reframing and just seeing my life as, instead of through the prism of what I've done in my past or what I feel my future should be like, I'm just in the moment.
Yeah.
I'm just getting to the stage where it's just now. And the thing, and this is something as well, realizing that all the things I was teaching people while they're learning the ukulele, I actually needed to learn myself. Things like what I love about playing an instrument is you have to be within the moment. You are within the moment, because if you make a mistake, you just have to forget about it. That moment in time is gone. You cannot get that moment in time back. You just have to keep on going. You can reflect on that moment in time later. You can make a little mental note. Okay, I need to re-look at that passage there. But the mistake that you made is gone. It's irrelevant. And if you let it impact what you're doing next, then you've made two mistakes for the price of one. Oh, how sensible that was. So, I mean, it's the thing that I keep telling my students is don't worry about making mistakes. Have fun. Be aware of what you might need to do better in the future, work at, but don't worry about making mistakes.
And that's so applicable to life.
To everything. I mean, this is it. A lot of the people that go through my program, they kind of, yeah, think People with PTSD, people with anxiety issues, people that are just getting to the stage where they're having to think about their life and change how they view their life. It helps them because you have to be in the moment. If you're playing an instrument, you just have to be in the moment.
And I'm sure that that resonates and they are like, oh my God, yeah. This is more than just music where this applies.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. I went to learn the ukulele and gosh darn, my whole mindset shifted.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's cool.
It is. It's the whole mindset thing. Also, just the idea that they can suddenly do something that they never thought they could do, but they thought they'd missed their chance to learn. And they're getting so much out of it and having such fun while doing it.
Well, of course, because you're the fun guy. And so, you know, you're going to attract probably people who like to have fun, you know? And so it's like, oh, fun. Yeah. And so the other thing too, that I thought of when you're describing that, and kind of live in the moment, is that everything that you did prior has led you to where you are. If you didn't have that experience, you couldn't be the teacher that you are.
Exactly.
I mean, so it's now, a gift instead of a failure, right? You can
totally. I mean, I'm now looking at it going, oh, I'm really pleased I didn't make it as a rock star because I couldn't do this then, or I could have done. But it is bizarre how you get to you must find this as well doing what you're doing. But almost every skill I've picked up in my life is just so applicable to what I'm doing now. It's wonderful, you know. You end up where you are.
Yeah.
There is a plan. You might not know it, but there is a plan.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So I know we're going a little bit longer than I normally do, but I love this conversation. And there was a question that, I have when my podcast guests apply to be on the podcast, I ask them for three questions that they would like me to ask. And so sometimes, you know, I cover them in the conversation and sometimes they're not. And there's one here that I wanted to ask before we close is just, and we can just touch on it, but I think it's an important topic for my audience, is why creativity is so important for everybody. Because I think this is what happened to me, is that I adopted this mindset of, I am not creative. I don't have a creative bone in my body. That was my thought. And I just thought, oh, there's people that are born creative, like people like Matt, who can play the ukulele and multiple instruments, but I am not creative, when in fact, we are all born as babies, very creative, and society kind of like tamps that down. And what I've learned is there are certain things you can do to kind of like reopen that connection to the creative soul. I'd love to hear your perspective on the importance of it and what you would say to somebody who says, like, I don't have a creative bone in my body.
I've never met anybody that is tone deaf. There's degrees of it. Not everybody is born Mozart, right? But everybody has the capacity to improve their musicality. And the thing about creativity, whatever it is, whether it's making a table, playing a song, painting a picture, cooking a meal, sorting out a garden, deciding what wallpaper you want on your downstairs toilet, right? That's creativity. Picking out paint colors.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's creativity is so important because it's what gives life meaning. It's what fuels the need to go and get the money for the next meal. It's so you can have more than just the basic eat, sleep, reproduce. The creativity is what gives it meaning. And it's just so important, whatever stage you're at in life, to tap into that in some way. And it really doesn't matter what you're doing. I mean, obviously, I'd love everybody to come and learn to play the ukulele. We've been through that. But if that calls to you, great. If learning how to make a pot calls to you, if of making the best barbecue sauce you can ever make and making sure that your neighbors enjoy. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just be creative. It's what makes us human. That's
I
it.
think also being and carving out time to sit with your thoughts and say, what maybe ask the question or have an intent for a meditation session of, what does creativity look like for me? What could it be? What could it be? And that like inner voice will drop a thought into your head. And I think doing something that's creative leads you to more fulfillment. What a purpose might be, what something like would lead you to whatever, what is the thing that you're going to do that will spark you, I think. But creativity is kind of the, I think, the source for what, where the path will lead us. Do you think that?
I think it doesn't matter whether you know where you're going to end up. It's about starting something and seeing
Yeah.
where it leads.
Yes.
Like, not everybody knows that, yes, I mean, I knew I wanted to be a musician, right, from a very early age. I was really certain about it. Not everybody knows. That doesn't matter. Pick something, give it a go. And if you don't like it, try something else. So, yeah, basically,
Yes.
start the path. Start
Yes.
the path, see where it goes. You probably won't end up doing what you thought you'd end up doing, but it doesn't matter. It
Yeah.
just get out
Yeah.
there and get
Yeah.
creative.
Starting is always going to get you closer to where, yeah, it's always
Exactly.
going to get you closer. I
Exactly.
love that. Okay. And then the very ending that I like to end with is, what does living a not your average life exemplify to you? And, or what does it mean to you? And how do you exemplify that? I think
Right,
you've
I
lived
know.
a very not your average life, but going forward, how are you going to continue to do that?
I know I wrote something really, 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 really pithy on your application. I've got no idea what it was, so I'm just going to make something up. Right, I'm going to make something up. I've got no idea. Living not your average life. Whenever you say you can't do something, add the word yet after it, and see what happens. It's just, don't say no to any opportunity, as long as it's not detrimental to somebody else's life or illegal. Or if it's illegal and a lot of fun, then you can consider it. But yeah, just don't say no. Just go out and see what happens. Just get that bucket list, tick it off.
I love
Go for it.
that.
Do everything.
I'm going to add that into my program. Like add that, quote by Matt Parkin is this. Yeah. Love that. So I do not know how to play the ukulele yet.
Exactly.
How's that for an ending?
Yeah, and
Yeah.
we can sort that out, you know.
Yeah, we are. We're going to.
Well,
Cheers.
you're going to be on my podcast where I teach people how
I
to.
know. I'm so excited about that. And so, yeah. So we'll continue the conversation and maybe I'll have you back and we can get deeper. I will have you back. We'll talk about how I was as a student. Yeah.
Cool.
We'll talk about like my experience. So we can talk on your podcast, but we can have you back on this one. So thanks so much for being here from all the way in Spain. And I appreciate you and I can't wait to like continue to work with you and expose you to my students.
Is that legal?
What? Oh, yes. You'll be clothed. You'll be clothed. Okay.
Well, no,
Yes.
it's been
That
fun. Thank you
word
for
is
having
the
me on.
same in both. You know how some things within, you in the UK like mean different things, but I guess that means the same thing in America as it does in the UK. Okay, we'll end on that note. So we're
Brilliant.
going downhill. All right. Bye.
Lovely to chat. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average life.